Welcome to Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Today's a very special salute to veterans on Veterans Day with your host, Ann Eller.
That's right. It is a perfect day to honor our veterans here in the United States and those that are in active military duty right overseas and around the world. Where would we be without our veterans? You know, as I was trying to plan this show for today, I've gotten some nice comments from people that I asked to comment for us. But I also was trying to find a nice introduction to the show today. And I was going through my favorite book here, that's right, The Little Big Book of America, and I came across the citywide prayer service that was done at Yankee Stadium when Rudolph Giuliano gave this speech back on September 23rd, 2001. I'd like to read part of it to you because it's just so timely. It was timely then. It is timely today. And, of course, this is about the St. Paul's Chapel. It was one of the oldest and most historic buildings in the city of New York City. It was built in 1766 when the surrounding area was still countryside. The chapel survived the War of Independence, including 7 years of wartime occupation. For the past 25 years, the chapel has stood directly in the shadow of the World Trade Center towers. When the towers fell, more than a dozen modern buildings were destroyed and damaged. Yet somehow, amid all the destruction and devastation, St. Paul's Chapel still stands without so much as a broken window. It's a small miracle in some ways, but the presence of the chapel standing defiant and serene among the ruins of war sends an eloquent message about the strength and resilience of the people of New York City and the people of America. We unite under the banner of E Pluribus Unum. We find strength in our diversity. We're a city of one with all the people at the World Trade Center and with all of America. We love our diversity and we love our freedom. Like our founding fathers who fought and died for freedom, like our ancestors who fought and died to preserve our union, like our fathers and grandfathers who fought and died to liberate the world from Nazism, fascism, and communism, the cluster of arrows to defend our freedom and the olive branch of peace have been handed to us. We hold them firmly in our hands, honor their memory, and lift them up towards the heavens to light the world. In the days since the attack, we have met the worst of humanity with the best of humanity. And so, I say, we go forth with our veterans and our active duty military as the first line of defense against those that would take our freedom away. This salute is to all of our veterans, past, present, and future. May you keep us safe, and may we honor you today and always. And as John F. Kennedy once said, as we expressed our gratitude, we must never forget the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them. And with this in mind, I'd like to hear a few words from those that I've asked to be part of our presentation today. First, we're going to hear from Sheriff Tony Davis and then from Jane Dyer. With Sheriff Tony Davis. Tony Davis has been to Vietnam. He's been back to Iraq not recently, but before he became sheriff here. And Tony, I asked you to say a few words for our veterans today, and what can you tell us?
Well, Ann, I'm certainly pro-military, and I'm 100% for our veterans, and I really believe in them and what they have done to make this country the way it is. But November the 11th of each year is the day that we ensure veterans know that we deeply appreciate the sacrifices that they have made to keep our country free. It's a day in which we honor all American veterans, but largely it's intended to thank living veterans for their dedicated and loyal service to our country. And from one veteran to another, I want to say thank you for your patriotism, your sacrifices and service. May God bless you and welcome home.
Thank you very much, Tony Davis. We appreciate you coming by and saying a few words. All right, and I have Jane Dyer on the phone with us, and Jane Dyer is out there flying the friendly skies of FedEx. She is a veteran, and she was a captain in the Air Force. And Jane Dyer, I know you are very passionate about veterans, and how are you doing today?
And I'm doing great. Yes, I'm out flying the friendly skies. I'm in Denver, Colorado, so I saw my first snow of the season last night.
Wow. Ready to come home to South Carolina?
I'm always ready to come home to South Carolina.
That's right. And, you know, you ran a very great campaign running for a representative to the federal state house there and representatives. And, you know, I've always enjoyed sitting down and talking to you. And I know one of your issues was always that we needed to take care of your veterans. And I thought, what better person to talk to today on Veterans Day? So what do you have to say for us, Jane?
Well, Ann, thank you so much, and veterans are very important and dear to me because we're a military family. One of the things I found out during the campaign was in Anderson County, there's a memorial that has all of the veterans, all of the people who entered the military from Anderson County. So on that wall is the name of my father, my uncle, and my aunt, who all served in World War II.
Wow.
I had not known that before, so my family starts back then, and of course my husband is a retired Air Force pilot who's a combat veteran twice in Vietnam, and my stepson still serves. He's an A-10 pilot. So it's very important to me that we do take care of our veterans, because when we choose to go to war, and we've had to do it many times, not only do our servicemen and women go out there and put their lives on the line, of course, some of them don't come back, and we need to support their families. And those who do come back some of them have very serious issues that we have to continue to support and take care of.
That's right. So, you know, to me, it is so important to say thank you to each and every of our veterans that are out there. And I know as you think about your son over there, God, I bet you wish he was home.
Well, he's home now.
He
is home now, but I am getting to do something I haven't gotten to do in a long time. You know, for those families, and there's so many who are deployed so frequently now, it is so tough, of course, on the ones that go, but the ones who are still here. So my son is doing a week-long, he's in the National Guard, so next week he's going to Tucson to do a week-long of training. And so I'm going to get to go up and take care of the grandkids so that his wife can go spend some time with him in Tucson away from the kids, and they can have a little time together while he's doing his exercises. And I just would ask people to do something tangible. If you know someone, especially someone who's deployed, do something for their family. You know, babysit the kids, take them dinner, do something tangible. And if it's somebody that, you know, has served in the past, especially our combat veterans, I'd say take them to lunch, take dinner over, take them for a cup of coffee. But do something tangible to show that we really appreciate what they've done.
Absolutely. Jane Dyer, thank you so much for calling in, and God bless you and all your family for being veterans of the United States. You know, where would we be if we didn't have our veterans that have taken care of us in the past, the present, and for the future?
Absolutely, Anne, and we ask that we continue to think and pray for all the ones who are serving us now and are out there and their families, and that's why America is the greatest country in the world.
Absolutely. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you, Anne. God bless you.
All right, that was Jane Dyer, and of course, before that was our Sheriff Tony Davis. You know, this is a day that we all stop and we think about our veterans. We think about their families and everything, but we do have a tendency to forget that we have a large military contingent right here in Greenwood that the Hodges National Guard is overseas, and not only that is Greenwood. So as she was saying, think about the families that are here. It's tough on them. They don't have that extra person in the family, whether it be male or female. They are missing a part of their family. So do think about that, and if there are some little things that you can do, go ahead and do it. It would really make a difference in their lives. Now, I'd like to hear something that Larry Landrum, was a very, very, very dear, dear friend. He died earlier this year, and you know, Larry, if you're listening to us today, God bless you. I miss you, and I love you. He was Lieutenant Colonel in the U.S. Air Force, and I tell you what, he had stories like, you know, great stories, and every once in a while I love to play his interview that we did. But today I want to concentrate on one part of his interview that we had. His daughter, Kim, actually her name is Kim Reed now, wrote him a letter when he was in Vietnam. She was 15 years of age at that time, and if you remember back, when our service people were in Vietnam, it was a very contentious period. Our veterans didn't come home to fanfare and happiness. They were just not the heroes that we look at today as heroes. And of course, they were heroes, but they came home to a nation that was definitely divided about whether we should or should not be there. But Larry was over there in Vietnam, and Kim, his daughter, wrote him this letter. It was actually published over there in Vietnam, and I'd like to play that section for you now. It's as timely today as it was back in 1972.
I'd like to sometime, if you get a chance. I've got a letter that my 15-year-old daughter wrote me while I was in Da Nang. And I showed it to the publisher of the Da Nang paper. And he said, Larry, can I print this in our paper? And I said, sure. And so he did. And I got a copy of that.
You do. You do. Would you like me to read it? This is a letter from Kim, yeah. Your daughter Kim. And this was what? This was printed in the Da Nang paper October 14th, 1972.
Yep.
And she writes to you, everyone here is doing fine, and I hope you're well, too. I miss you very much and wish you were here, but I know it's your duty, as well as everyone else there, to serve your country and ours to the best of your ability. I want you to know that I am proud of you, my father. You are one of the brave men needed to help keep everything American stands for, even if it means fighting in a foreign land to help people we don't even know to maybe someday have a chance of having a country as proud and beautiful and free as ours. And when you're down, just remember that Americans have been standing up and fighting for what they believe in since the day the Pilgrims set foot at Plymouth Rock, and that you are one of many who are representing this great nation, America, in her eternal battle for what she believes. This is the way I feel, and this is what I believe, and I hope you feel this way too. Even if you do or do not feel this way, remember that I always love and respect you very much. Love, Kim. And that was from a 15-year-old. That was 1972.
Right.
That was kind of that time when war was not the popular thing.
Well, they wanted to get, not go. People dodging the draft and all that good stuff.
Sure. Yeah. And this is a 15-year-old saying this. How'd that make you feel, Larry, when you got that letter?
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, because I believed in, like she did, so she didn't have to convince me. I was there already. But I think it helped the people that were at the base, too.
Sure.
I really do. I got a lot of people come up to me and said, that was a wonderful letter your daughter wrote.
Yeah, and you've kept it all these years. It still must be very, very important. It's still timely today, isn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. More so today than it was then. Because that country at that time was fighting for independence. Now we're over there trying to give some people the right to say what they want to do, the right to eat where they want to eat, go where they want to go.
Andy, I can't hear.
You're on the air.
Okay, well, that was Lieutenant Colonel Larry Landrum and the letter that his daughter wrote. That was such a terrific letter, and I had such a terrific interview with Larry. I think it's going on 2 years, and, you know, as I look at our veterans here today and I think about all the veterans that I've known over my lifetime, it just makes you sad to realize that life does go on and time does march on. But, Larry, I love you. You are a great guy and a very good, good patriot for our country. And that's one thing you can say about our veterans. They all are patriots for our country. You know, last year I went to the service that we had uptown. That was actually on a Sunday. They had the whole ceremony. Today, actually, there is a ceremony going on in uptown Greenwood. Started at 11 o'clock. But last year they had Major Jeffrey T. Burroughs come and speak. And he was actually out in Colorado, came back here for this. He gave a very, very, very dynamic speech. Now, he is from 96. His dad is Denny Burroughs. And at the end of this, you're actually going to hear a few comments from John Drummond. So let's listen to this. I will tell you this. I did have to shorten it up for this show today, so we had to cut some of it out. But I hope I've gotten the major parts, and I certainly hope you will enjoy it. I think it was a tremendous speech last year, and I'm going to enjoy hearing it again today. Let's hear from Major Jeffrey T. Burroughs.
I'm very honored today, or very honored several weeks ago when I got the call and they asked me to come here and be the guest speaker. I was honored and humbled and felt somewhat inadequate all at the same time. So in an attempt to be very thorough, I started doing some research, and I thought the best way to start this off would be to find a good quote. You know, all good speakers have a good quote that they base their speech on. So I did a lot of research on the internet and in books, trying to find just that quote, because there's been a lot of famous people who have said a lot of things about people who have served in wartime. As I was looking through all those speeches, I never found one that I thought really did justice to the concept of the veteran. So what I did was kind of quit. The reason I'm turning pages, I'm trying not to read. If I start reading, somebody raise your hand and say, hey, stop reading. But I may miss something along the way, and there's a couple of things that I want to make sure I get right. Anyway, I quit looking, and as Dad said, I'm in the Command and General Staff College right now, so I do a lot of writing. Not necessarily my chosen thing to do, but I do it anyway. And I found a soft quote on the internet, and it kind of struck me. It caught my eye, and I came back to it a couple of days later. And this I'm going to read to you because I want to make sure I get it right. A veteran is someone who, at one point in his life, wrote a blank check made payable to the United States of America for an amount up to and including his life. I got to thinking about that. write checks every day. Well, maybe we don't write checks anymore. I mean, I know I use my debit card. I don't write a whole lot of checks. But either way, we go to the store, we see something we want, write a check, we pull out our debit card, we go and buy, and we don't give it much of a second thought. It's money in the bank. Sometimes if it's something expensive, well, we think about it a little bit. But what's the worst thing that can happen? Maybe we overdraw our account. Maybe the bank charges us a fee. Maybe the store charges us a fee. Really not that bad. But let's think about our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and marines who at some point in their life decided that they were going to give their lives to serve our country or to commit their lives to serving our country. You know, there are a lot of reasons people do that. Some of them just decide it's my time and they walk into their recruiter's office. For some, their friends and neighbors say, hey, it's your time. But they walk in anyway and they raise their right hand and they sign that blank check. They do that when they swear to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And that check is not like the one we write in the store. That check is one that's drawn on a different account in a different bank, and it's paid for by sweat and tears and blood, and in some cases, their lives. And I'm looking at here today, and I see a lot of veterans that I know and a lot more veterans that I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, are heroes. Because they wrote a check, and they didn't know what the cost or what the price of that check was going to be. But they did it for you and for me and for our children. They did it on the beaches, on Omaha Beach, on D-Day under withering enemy fire. They did it in the mountains of Korea and the jungles of Vietnam. They conducted airborne assaults into Panama and Grenada. They fought in the streets of Somalia against warlords. They defended Kuwait against a brutal dictator. And they're currently now fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq. That's a significant check. They spent years away from their families. A lot of them have been wounded themselves. A lot of them have seen their buddies wounded. A lot of them have watched as their buddies have died right in front of them. But they never complained. To a man, all of these veterans, they, regardless of the circumstances, they picked up and they moved on and they completed their mission. Different country, several years later, we were doing a raid to capture some insurgents in Baghdad. And we're moving up to the front door. There's a little courtyard. We do a silent breach on the gate. The team's moving up to the front door and the insurgent inside starts shooting fire through the door with his AK-47 on full automatic. Taking those rounds and then funneling them right out into the courtyard. The first two guys in the stack immediately go down. I got a medic right outside the courtyard.
South Carolina Radio Network. I'm Susan.
Without even no hesitation whatsoever, he takes off into the courtyard, right into the bullets, to grab the number one guy and drag him out. Goes, he grabs him, checks him real quick, drags him back out through the gunfire, right outside, and starts performing first aid on him. Alive today, and so was the medic. Later on, we're searching for another insurgent. We've been in a running gun fight all day. RPG comes in and hits the rear vehicle. We're stopped and wounds five soldiers, one of whom is in the turret manning the 50 caliber machine gun. The vehicle catches on fire, starts burning. The 50 cal gunner stays right there and starts laying down suppressive fire so that the other four soldiers who were wounded could be evacuated and treated. In the midst of the engagement, people start talking to him and saying, hey, you need to get down. You're hurt. We knew his legs were in bad shape, very bad shape. He said, no, get the other ones out first. Eventually, his team leader, who incidentally was also wounded, jumps up on the Humvee, and his team leader was about to get off. Grabs him, pulls him up through the turret, and it backs him back to our casualty collection joint. Both of them are still alive today. That's significant. And those are just examples that I personally know of, but that I know have been repeated hundreds and hundreds of times by our veterans. After I joined the Army, some friends of mine who looked at me and said, hey, why'd you do something so stupid? And I thought about it for a minute. And I thought about those people who had made an impact on me when I was little. choice looking back. I know I did. Because I have complete satisfaction in working to protect those who cannot protect themselves. I think it's a noble cause, and I'm doing it because of the role models that I had growing up. To those people whose footsteps I'm following in, I'd like to say thank you. I'm proud of you. And our country is proud of you. To those people who are still in service today, I'd like to say thank you again. Because this is an era of persistent conflict, and it's tough. Deploying once, twice, three times is hard. And to those who gave the ultimate sacrifice, for those people who cash those checks with their lives and cover those checks with their lives, let us remember them forever. For no greater love have no man than this, that he manly down his life for his friend. Point that I'd like to share with you in closing that I think kind of sums up sort of what I was trying to say here. The author is unknown. It goes like this. I was that which others did not want to be. I went where others feared to go and did what others failed to do. I asked nothing from those who gave nothing and reluctantly accepted the thought of eternal loneliness should I fail. I have seen the face of terror, felt the stinging cold of fear, and enjoyed the sweet taste of a moment's love. I have cried, pained, and hoped, but most of all, I have lived times that others would say were best forgotten. At least someday, I'll be able to say that I was proud of what I was, a veteran. On this Veterans Day, I'd like to personally say thank you to each and every veteran here. I appreciate it. I'm proud of you. Our country's proud of you. We're all proud of you. And I'm humbled and proud to say that if you were followed in your footsteps or standing in right now. Thank you.
Oh, that's right. We are here at Sharp Passes to Gate. We are celebrating and saluting our veterans and saluting our active military duty wherever they are, here in the United States, overseas. But also we're remembering that families pay a heavy price to have those in the service here and around the world. You know, I had the opportunity to sit down yesterday with Bonnie Rare, who has her son is active duty military. He's in the National Guard. He is overseas. I do not remember. She tells us whether it was Iraq or Afghanistan, but he's there. And I also had the opportunity to sit down and talk to Anna Hightower. Her husband is actually a team leader over there, and they are over their Bravo company and over there in Afghanistan. And it's particularly tough, not only for a mother or father to have a son overseas, but it's particularly tough when you have children that don't really understand where daddy is. It's particularly tough when a child, some of the stories that I heard yesterday that we didn't actually have in this broadcast, but it's particularly tough when a 14-month-old child looks in the computer and wants to know why daddy never comes out of the computer, because they can see him over there, but they cannot touch him, they cannot hold him. So these are the things that our military people are dealing with. They've signed an oath. They signed a blank check. They went overseas to protect us. We owe them a lot of gratitude. We owe them a lot more than today, just lip service. We owe them to live it every day. So right now I want to introduce Bonnie Rare, as I said, whose son is serving overseas in Iraq, and Anna Hightower will then speak. Then we're going to, I believe, hear a word from our sponsors, but when we come back, I'll have a few closing comments for you. I certainly hope you're enjoying this show. It's something that's very meaningful to me. I can't say it enough how much we need to appreciate our veterans and our military, because they are what keeps us safe. They are why we are able to have freedoms and democracy here in our country. So let's hear from Bonnie Rare first, and then from Anna Hightower.
Okay, and I'm Ann Eller, and yes, I am here with two active military duty wife and mother here, and I'm first going to talk to Bonnie Rare. Bonnie, how are you doing today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, good, good. You know, Veterans Day is here, and I tell you what, it's really a time to think, but I bet that every day of your life you have your son in your prayers.
I do. I really do. Put him in the Lord's hand, let the Lord take care of him, but you can't help but worry.
That's right. And where is your son at?
He is stationed in Iraq.
And what do you think about, on Veterans Day here? What do you think about?
How proud I am of my son for choosing to support the country and to make the decisions to go leave his family away from everybody he knows and put himself in a foreign land, on foreign soil, to do something that he believes in.
Why do you think they do it? Why do you think they do it? Because, you know, it's not something that every day we think about.
I really don't know. I know that he's committed to what he does. Above all, he's a soldier. He made the comment to me that he would rather leave his family and go protect the country on foreign soil than to have to worry about fighting them here.
Oh, well, there's a statement for you, if ever there was, because, you know, when we think back to 9/11, that was a horrible, horrible time in our country.
Exactly.
You know, and when you think about all the veterans that are out there that have served, some have given their life, some have not, to think about the fact that the men and women that go over there to serve, it is unbelievable that we have people in today's world that still will go forth.
That's true.
So what do you have to say to your son as you're sitting here today thinking about it?
I am so proud of you. I miss you. I love you. Stay safe. And we'll see you just as soon as you can get home.
That's right. Now, he's in the National Guard, so that's really a part-time job, isn't
it? Really is. It's a part-time job.
Until you get deployed.
Right. Until you get the orders, and then the whole family goes into gear.
Yeah, so it must be tough for family. Now, does he have any children?
He does. He has two girls, 5 and 3.
What's their names?
Caitlin and Haley.
Well, I bet they miss their dad.
They do. They don't really understand why their dad's in Iraq, but every time we get them, they want to know, is he coming home today?
Today. Today would be a great day if he could come home, wouldn't it?
It would be very good.
It would. Well, thank you so much, Bonnie, for talking to us here today. I know it's tough, and I know that you can't wait to have him come home and be safe.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Now, we also have with us today Anna Hightower, and your husband is overseas, isn't he?
Yes, ma'am, he is.
And where is he at, Anna?
He is in Iraq.
In Iraq. Okay. So, how is it for you?
It is difficult on some days. It depends on what day you ask me. Our motto in our family during a deployment is one day at a time. And that's how we spend our year while my husband is gone.
Now, what exactly does your husband do?
He is the first sergeant at Bravo Company, the 151st Expeditionary Signal Battalion. So he's kind of the head honcho of all the soldiers in his unit, which it's a great unit, a great bunch of very professional soldiers.
Now, this is the group that comes out of
Out of Hodges.
Out of Hodges,
yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't think about that we have military that is deployed from here, do we, really?
No, it's very easy for the reserve component, which is reserve and National Guard soldiers. It's very easy for their families to kind of fall by the wayside or get overlooked, just because typically their military duty is a part-time thing until they're deployed, just like Bonnie was saying. Then it becomes their life. They become active duty, and but it's not always easy to recognize when you live in a small town and you're not on a military base.
Yes, it's not like Army Wives, is it?
No.
I like that show, though, just for the record. I like that show, but it's not like living on a base where they all have a support system.
Right, exactly. It's difficult. We do have a great family readiness group at the Hodges Armory, and we try to support each other and reach out to each other, because that's about the only way you can make it through a deployment.
Absolutely. Now, what about, you have children?
I do. I have two boys and a girl. Lewis is 10, Perry is 9, and Abby is 7.5.
Wow. And how is it for them?
It is very difficult. They have a hard time because because we're not on a base, they don't have a lot of friends whose dads are also serving. When they do make friends like that, those are the friends they want to hang out with and spend time with, because they have that common ground. But it's hard for them to understand exactly why daddy has to be gone to the desert for so very long and miss birthdays and miss Christmas. So a lot of hard, tough questions come at me, you know, about his service and his decision.
And how is it for you? I mean, you were telling me the first time your husband was deployed, they were very small.
They were, during the first deployment, they were 2 weeks old, 1.5 and 2.5 when he left, and he was gone for 14 months. So the questions I got then were things like, Mommy, what are your eyebrows saying? And Mommy, what do bathing suits do? And those kind of questions. Now, the million-dollar question is, Mommy, why does Daddy have to go to the desert and be gone from us? And that's tough. I do think I came up with a little bit of an answer as I was mulling things over one night, and I wrote a little bit about it in my journal. If you wouldn't mind, I'll read that to you.
Sure, that'd be great.
I wrote it on June 10th, which was about a month before they left. As I pressed the rewind button for the third time, I looked around to see if the kids would say anything as the strains of the Star Spangled Banner rang out again. Am I crazy for listening to the Star Spangled Banner over and over as I clean my kitchen? And why does it make me feel like crying? I think I might know the answer. As deployment day approaches ever so quickly, I am reminded that my husband, 20 years ago, swore to uphold and defend our great Constitution, a noble, honorable thing to do. And now, 20 years and one deployment later, he gets another opportunity to do just that. The very song that stands for what he totally bought into and swore to defend hits me square in the heart. I feel my chest swell with pride as I think of him leaving us behind and making good on his promise to this great country. And I can't help but think of that as I hear these words, this music, and think of him boarding that bus in 30 short days. Suddenly, the music and words that open our sporting events and get played on cheesy car dealer commercials around the 4th of July mean so much more. And I understand now why I feel so proud when my kids jump to their feet when the national anthem plays on a Bugs Bunny cartoon, even when their friends look at them like they're crazy. They stand because their daddy stands in his uniform in some dusty desert for days on end. And now, somehow, we are a part of this too. Somehow, the kids and I are a part of this promise to defend and uphold. We may not have raised our right hand and swore in front of a recruiter, but we make good on that promise too. We stand when we hear the familiar strains of music. We stand as the bus pulls away. And we stand in the country that my husband felt strongly enough about to defend when he was called. We stand without him until he returns to stand with us. So I'll press the repeat button, sing at the top of my lungs through my tears of pride and pain, and stand tall.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
That is beautiful. And isn't that what it's all about? It is. We are all standing here together. Some go to call to help, and some are left behind. And God bless each and every one of us who has family and friends that are overseas supporting and helping our country remain strong in times where It could happen, and we've seen it happen right here in the United States. God bless each and every one of you for being here today. We sure appreciate you coming out here today. And I know it's tough as having your loved ones away, but I thank you that they are there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
You are with us at Meet Me at the Diner on this special Veterans Day. Here is your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We've heard some pretty eloquent speakers here today. Just regular people who want to give thanks to our veterans. Some are family, like Bonnie Rare and Anna Hightower. They have family overseas here today, and I know this is a very significant day for them and their loved ones and the children that are involved. You know, when Anna said that the biggest question they ask, why does my daddy have to go? Why is his daddy not gone? That's a pretty big question to answer for a young child. And the fact that they try to find other children that have children, and that's one of the advantages of having a base. So when you're thinking about something you can do for our service people to help keep freedom and democracy alive in our country, one of the things you can do is look around and see the families that are here, right here in Greenwood, Lawrence, Hodges, all around this area. See those families and go out and do something, as Jane Dyer said, tangible. Take a serviceman for a cup of coffee. Take a casserole. Bake something extra. Take it over there. If you've got some toys or something that you're not using anymore, maybe that the kid next door whose dad is away would really enjoy having them. If you get a coupon for something, you know, a meal or something like that, maybe instead of using it yourself, hand it off to a service family because they could really, really use it. We are getting ready here on WLMA and WCRS, actually, to do some things for our military families right here. I sure hope that you will be a participant in helping us with what we're coming up with. I'm not really going to talk about it today because that's not really what we're here for, but we are here to talk about that we need to think about veterans, we need to think about family members, and you know, in truth, it's the whole family that's affected when that veteran goes overseas, that active military person goes overseas, whether it's a mom or a dad or a sister or a brother, all of these, the whole family is affected. So, like I said, if you can do something for them, you know, one of the things that the gals were telling me yesterday is that this is something you may not know, but it costs a lot for them to ship stuff overseas. So sometimes they said they get really nice donations, and it would be really helpful if you included just a couple of dollars to help with the postage. I think most of us believe that they're not paying a regular freight to send stuff over there, but that is not the case. They do have to pay. They did tell me they get a little discount, but it still is very expensive to send stuff, and they love to send stuff. So if you would like to contribute, and you could contribute a couple of dollars to help ship it, they sure would appreciate it. You know, as we go to the top of the hour here, I want to read something that I think is pretty darn good. It was by E.B. White back on July 3rd, 1944. Is about democracy, and it was written as an editorial in The New Yorker. And, of course, that's July 3rd, 1944. It says, we received a letter from the Writers' Board, War Board, the other day, asking for a statement on the meaning of democracy. And it says, it is presumably our duty to comply with such a request, and it is certainly our pleasure. Surely the board knows what democracy is. It is the line that forms on the right. It is the don't in, don't shove. It is the hole in the stuffed shirt through which the sawdust slowly trickles. It is the dent in the hi-hat. Democracy is the recurrent suspicion that more than half of the people are right more than half of the time. It is the feeling of privacy in the voting booth, the feelings of communion in the libraries, the feelings of vitality everywhere. Democracy is the score at the beginning of the ninth. It is an idea which hasn't been disproved yet. a song the words of which have not gone bad. It's the mustard on the hot dog and the cream in the rationed coffee. Democracy is a request from a war board in the middle of the morning, in the middle of the war, wanting to know what democracy is. That was written by E.B. Wright back on July 3rd, 1944. It was an editorial in The New Yorker, a magazine that still survives today. So as we go forth on this Veterans Day, let's not forget that as we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them. And again, that was said by John Fitzgerald Kennedy, our president. I now want to close with one of my favorite, oh my God, my favorite songs, God Bless America, by the one and only Kate Smith. Think anybody's ever sung it any better. A lot of people have sung it and done a great job with it. But Kate Smith is originally from Maine, my home state. She could really sing it and belt it out as nobody else could. You know, I was looking over quotes here and everything, and as we close the show here today, I want to thank each and every one of the people who contributed to this show. We appreciate so much their patriotism. We appreciate so much their willingness to come forth and talk about it. But there is a quote here that says, it is easy to take liberty for granted when you never have had it taken away from you. And sometimes I think it's hard for us to understand why we fight overseas, why we fight to help other countries, because we've always been free and we understand what it is to be free, but other places don't. And so that is why I guess we go forth here and we get involved in wars and everything on philosophy and beliefs. But that's what makes our country great, is because we do have our beliefs and we do believe in taking our beliefs forward. I sure hope you have enjoyed this show today. I have very much enjoyed doing it. And I want to say a special thank you to all our veterans out there. and one veteran that's very close to my heart, my own dear husband, Jeff Eller. You are a patriot and a true veteran of this life. Carry on, dear Jeff. Carry on, each and every veteran out there. God bless you for your service. God bless you for everything you've done for this country. This is been my tribute, our tribute, right here on WLMA to each and every one of our veterans and active military duty service people. This is WLMA right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. Bye-bye, Andy.
Bye, Andy.